Gentle touch.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Black and Blurred.
Hi.
That's Darren.
It's me.
I'm Brandon. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're back with another episode. We've got, I guess we have two main things we want to discuss today. Before that, I want to give an update. That sounded like I was about to announce something about our podcast or anything.
Yeah, no.
That's not that type of update. I just want to share with you a story. We went to, I told you we went here.
The mall.
The right.
Montgomery Mall.
Montgomery Mall. What's it called? That's what it's
Montgomery
called.
Montgomery Mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it's a popular name of a bunch of other malls. There's one near you.
Westfield?
That's what it is. It's a Westfield. Yeah. Westfield. I wonder what that is. There's a lot of.
One near me is trash.
Yeah, it is. It's garbage. So we're walking around in the mall. We just had a free day. I'm like, Tula, let's get out of the house. Let's go to the mall. So we go to the mall. And these guys come up to us, two young guys, I want to say maybe early 20s.
Well, they came up to you.
Yeah.
Like to share the good news of this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I told you about this?
You told me some of it, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So they walk up to me and said, hey, you guys, we're going around, inviting people to a Bible study. I said, to a Bible study? That's interesting that you would invite them to a Bible study. Although it's not very weird, I think. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a reason for that, in Bible study. And I said, oh, interesting. What is it about? And they said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard about the female person of God? And I said, oh, Tula, why don't you go ahead and take the boys and go on ahead?
This is fixing to be the long one.
I'll be right behind you.
It's fixing to be a long one.
I'm like, the female person of God, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then they started talking. I said, hey, not to cut you off. I'm sorry to cut you off, but what is the name of this group again? And they said World Mission Society or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've heard of you guys. I know that name. And so.
Very cultish.
I'm not, very, very. I'm not going to bore you with the entirety of the conversation, although I will tell you how they began. They began with, Genesis. Genesis 1, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And then also they go straight to 26 and 27. And it talk about the fact that God made man in his image after his likeness, male and female, he created them. And so they're like, this is their logic. They're saying, look, he made male and female after his image. So therefore God is both male and female. And I'm like, hey, there's a lot wrong with the way that you're thinking right now. And then they cut me off and they said, well, let me ask you this. If I took a copy machine and I put a male in it and a female in it, how many copies would come out? And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, figure it out. I'm not going to go into that. But so I'm like, hey, explain that to me a little bit more. I don't, what are you saying? So if I have a copy machine and I take a male and I copy it and I take a female and I copy it, then what am I left with? Am I left with one copy or two copies? And I'm like, well, two copies in this world where people go into copy machines. This is a very weird analogy. And so then his conclusion was, so therefore, when we look at male in us, we are a copy of God. And we look at females, they are a copy of God. So there's a male, there's a male God and there's a female God. And I said, hey, I'm going to tell you the root cause of this flawed logic is that you are arguing from us to God in order to conclude about God. You will always be lacking when you take your conclusions about a infinite being from finite beings.
Right.
We can learn some things about God, but we can't be sure because we're finite. They need to be revealed to us. Say, in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so obviously you get into hermeneutics, but so I found their page and and I want to read some of this stuff because it's a doozy.
Is it a website or an Instagram page?
No, it's a website. It's a website. This is big.
God, the mother.
Because even this, you know what I should do? I should bring this up on here so people can see it. If you're going to watch the YouTube, I'm going to post this episode on YouTube, guys. I promise. I promise. This won't just be for the patrons. Sorry, patrons. We love you guys. It's big because this is like the East Coast. That's what it says, the page. It says East Coast.
Oh, it's like a
World Mission East Coast. So we have God the Mother, and this is what they say. When we look at all living organisms, we see the same patterns. Life comes from a father and mother. This is true for plants, animals, and human beings. But ultimately, the mother is the one who gives life to their children. God made it this way to show us that even spiritually, we can only receive eternal life through God the Mother.
Doesn't make any sense.
Even more so, this is what we get if you click. This is their reference. This is the biblical reference, Revelation 4:11. So I'm going to read that statement again. God made it this way to show us that even spiritually, we can only receive eternal life through God the Mother. Now, that statement in and of itself is taken out of someone's...
Yeah, they made that up.
Condemned butt is what that statement is taken out of. And then they throw parentheses around a Bible verse as if this is scriptural.
Right.
And then they have the nerve to use something that... This is what it says, Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things.
Yeah, they're going to take some of the
words.
And
by your will, they were created and have their being.
Yeah. Not going to address the mother part.
And that's it.
It's the part about being worshipped.
Yeah. And this, they also have this at the bottom of that statement. They know the truth about God. This is the New Living Translation of Romans 1. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Now, once again,
that's
their parenthetical reference biblically for their supporting argument that God is a mother.
Yeah.
Where's Uncle Tom on his website signing off on here? I know. Uh-huh. I don't know if I should have said that. I'm leaving it in though. So now this is where it gets interesting, right? Because they brought up the word Elohim in the Hebrew.
All of them like to bring up that.
Yeah. And as I was explaining it to him, there was a guy walking by. You know, he's walking with his kids. He slowed down. He stopped, and then you know, kind of
looking at
weird.
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah, weird. Stopped to listen, and then finally walked away. And so I went to find Talani and the boys because they were gone somewhere deep in the mall. And then he came right up to me. Hey, man. You know, I heard you guys talking about Elohim in the Bible and stuff like that. Let me get some of that. That's what I said. Let me get some of that. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He says, I want to hear. You know, what are you talking about? And so he immediately, you know, I started talking about what I was sharing with them about the word Elohim, and he immediately dove right into Mike Heiser content, Unseen Realm, Old Testament hermeneutics, and things like that. And I'm like, bro, we're on the same wavelength. Yeah. Did we just become best friends? So this is what they brought up. Elohim. They said that Elohim is plural.
Right.
And this is what God says in Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So there's some things to unraveling that. One, Elohim is plural. Mm-hmm. It's also singular.
Right.
It's also singular. Number two, I'm not going to dive into all the deep stuff about this word, but just on the surface. Number two, Elohim is not a name.
Right.
It's not a name. And so I think that's what it's confusing people in here because it's almost like this is not a great example, but we know Jesus is God. Jesus is also human. Yeah. Right. He's a son of man.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus is a son of man, but he's also the son of man.
Right. Yeah.
He's also the son of man. I don't think that's a very bad argument, actually. That's not what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. The Lord just gave me that. Thank you, God. But Jesus is the Son of Man, and he's also a Son of Man as a human being.
Right.
So Yahweh is an Elohim, but he's also the Elohim.
Right.
He is the spiritual, immaterial being out of all the ones that he created. In the same way that Jesus is the Son of Man out of all the sons of men that he created.
Right.
And so they're not seeing it that way. They're just seeing that it's a plural word. And so therefore, it's a God, the Mother, and God, the Father, standing there. And they're creating. So, you know, I told them,
they got to throw away a lot of the Bible.
They do. This is their explanation. When God created human beings, he said, let us. This shows that God is more than one. God created males and females as a reflection of the male-female images of God. I tried to tell them about the Hebrew word tselem, where we're getting image from, and they're looking at this as like Polaroid, right? Or just a copy machine, like he said, because the humans go in copy machines. And that's the only thing that image means. Meanwhile, there's a functionality to the image of God.
Right.
There's a functionality because the image of God is on a favorite thing, zygote or fetus. Mm-hmm. The image of God is on them. Mm-hmm. And it's because God's stamp is on it. It's not that something needs to develop first, and that's where we get our image from, the ears and the lips and that's not it. That can contribute to it, but that's not it. Just like a suit isn't what makes a United States ambassador an ambassador. Mm-hmm. Wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase. No, you've been declared an ambassador of the United States. So that's what makes you an ambassador. And it's the same thing for us as image bearers. They go on to say, that is why the original Hebrew text refers to God as Elohim, which means gods. Now, this is a bit, you know, deceptive because, one, in the way that they have this written, it's a capital G. And it's plural. So, like I said, it is both a plural. There's a plurality or a singularity in this word. We have words like that. Deer, fish.
Right.
I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just, that's just the way it is. Even though some people do say fishes. It might be in UK, I think.
Well, fishes is correct.
Yeah, right. But so is fish in plurality.
Like, yeah, so fishes is just like anything. Fishes.
Oh, different kind?
Different species of fish. Species
of fish. There you go. Yeah, I got you. But if I'm looking at seven fish, it's fish.
It's fish.
Right.
Right.
So that was our Saturday at the mall. These guys came up on me, and then, you know, I ended it with, in the same way I was talking to the guys who came to the door. I told you about the JWs that came to the door, Jehovah's Witness.
Recently?
Yeah. Jehovah's Witness came to the door. It was maybe 2 weeks ago. They were told that we were French speaking. I don't know anything about that. It was two women that came to the door, and I said, hey, look, we're not French speaking.
French?
Yeah, very little English because I started speaking English, so they started their little English. And then I said, you know, which one is the elder? And that's when, you know, they're like, hey, we're not French speaking. So the other guys came up, two other guys came over. And I asked, which one is the elder, you know, because I want to talk to the one that's not the elder.
Right.
I want you. And if you are the elder interjects. And so I start asking the elder questions. And he didn't have the fundamental things, you know. Mm-hmm. He was telling me about the end of the world, and he told me about
that's what a lot of their tracks
about the end of the world
say. Yeah.
And so,
what are you gonna do when you die?
What's funny is
that the world's on fire.
That's exactly what it is, man. That's exactly what it is. Talani was away. Talani was at breakfast with a friend of ours, and the boys were upstairs about to kill each other. And I said, hey, listen to that. We're at the door. I said, listen to that. I actually don't have a lot of time, but let's pretend it's because I'm terminally ill and I'm going to die in 30 minutes. Let's pretend that's my scenario right now. What do you have for me? Mm-hmm. What can you share with me? And he said, well, it's complicated. I don't know. I said, if you were walking around today in 100-degree heat, knocking on doors to fail at explaining something because of its complicated nature, you are literally wasting your time.
Yeah, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
I said, now think about this. You knocked on my door.
To tell me nothing.
Now I'm thirsting for the information that you have, and you tell me you can't give it to me.
Yeah.
So you guys are welcome to come back And so I told him, take my number down and call me, and they're never going to call. So I said all that to say, I told the other guys, I said, hey, guys, this conversation started with you guys inviting me to a Bible study. So, you know, that's still going on.
Right, I know.
Is that still happening? Because if I was ever free, I would love to come. Yeah. I would love to come.
Ray Higgins.
And go to this Bible study. And so they took my number down. I have their number. And, you know, let's see. We'll see if they'll ever.
What if you went and Ray Higgins was there?
Bro, I would love that. Yeah. I would praise and worship the Lord. I would praise and worship the Lord. And I would just stand up with my Bible. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Man. The world and those who dwell therein. Man, I would love that.
Go on, brother.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, my gosh, bro. I'm sick of him, man. I'm sick of him. Oh, okay, let me share this
all,
one thing.
That was all housekeeping.
That was all housekeeping. Well, this is still housekeeping a little bit, only because what ends up happening in our society in America, in all these narratives, is the main thing is lost. So I want people on Black and Blurred, we are Black and Blurred because of the blurred nature of blackness and the portrayal of blackness in this country. One, that it's a monolith. Two, that we're either stupid or we have the same type of principles as individuals and things like that. But the main narrative is that we are under attack by white people and we need to do something.
Right.
That seems to be the main narrative. Mm-hmm. We're under attack by white people and we need to do something to help ourselves. Fireworks. Bet B. And so, in that vein, I want to share just another day in Baltimore. At least 2 dead, 28 injured in a Baltimore shooting. This just came out July 2nd, today. A shooting in Baltimore community of Brooklyn early Sunday morning killed 2 people and injured 28 others, according to police, lending to a search for suspects. At around 12:30 a.m., officers responded to the 800 block of Gretna Court in response to multiple calls of a reported shooting. Now, this is coming out of the Daily Wire, by the way.
That would technically be a mass shooting, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about 2 people dead, 28 injured.
28 others, yeah. The Baltimore Police Department said in a statement, local reports indicated there was a block party taking place when the carnage began. An 18-year-old woman was pronounced dead on the scene, and a 20-year-old man was pronounced dead at the hospital a short time later.
Wow.
Authorities said while the 20 victims between the ages of 13 and 32, including 14 under the age of 18, made their way to local hospitals.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, now that's the reality, and it's morbid, and it sucks to have to keep that at the forefront. But that's the reality that needs to sober up the people who listen to the other people who are telling you that we're under attack by white people.
Right.
Now, not only is that not true, we also don't care that these things happen.
Yeah.
That we can't have celebratory block parties without the culture making its way and manifesting itself into the party, because that's what it is. It's the culture. They're probably listening to music that's like, I got a Glock on my hip. I'm going to pull it in your face. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you can dance to it and celebrate to it, but then in real life, it's a tragedy. Why do you enjoy it?
Right.
Why do we enjoy it? All right. Let's move on. Affirmative action. Big topic recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Affirmative action. I wanted to give a formal definition.
Yeah.
I have it here.
Oh.
I have it here. I have a couple. Because one of these says, a policy or program that seeks to redress. Hold on. That was weird. A policy or program that seeks to redress past discrimination through active measures to ensure equal opportunity as an education and employment. I can sort of get behind that. Yeah. However, I think it gets better. This other one becomes more specific and I think more accurate. Sorry, something's in my eye. This one says, a policy or program providing advantages for people of a minority group who are seen to have traditionally been discriminated against with the aim of creating a more egalitarian society through preferential access to education, employment, healthcare, social welfare, etc. And I think that's probably more accurate. That's
definitely more accurate. Because that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it was. And I don't think that that is necessarily inherently bad.
No.
But we are.
Right.
As people.
And it becomes flawed very easily.
That's very, very quickly it becomes flawed. And I think, you know, people's world views are informing how they see something like affirmative action.
Yeah. I mean, there's two words in there that stand out. Advantages and preferential.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's partiality.
Ultimately, what it does is the people that don't qualify for this policy have disadvantages.
Right.
And lack preference.
Right.
What that is.
I've never heard this argument, but I could anticipate that somebody would point out the fact that Jesus took the marginalized in his church and highlighted them. Widows, single mothers, orphans, and said to care for them. Mm-hmm. And I hope I never hear that as an argument, because that's stupid. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't make any sense. Jesus says, don't forget them.
Right.
Because they're easily forgettable. You ought not forget them. The church better not forget them. Those in prison, don't forget them. Mm-hmm. Don't let them become just these forgotten people, but make them a part of your body just as much as anybody else. That's a very different thing from highlighting a group at the expense of another group.
Right.
But yeah, so what are some things you were sharing with me earlier, some things that you had been seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing all types of posts. I mean, one of the ones I saw on Facebook was about a woman, four women. And it's stupid. If you look close enough to the post, you see flaws. You'll see flaws in the post. It talks about...
Is this on Facebook?
Yeah.
You think I'd be able to find it?
Well, it's somebody I'm friends with.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So there's four women. Disney's chief diversity officer. Warner Bros. Diversity executive. Netflix head of inclusion. And Film Academy's executive VP of impact and inclusion.
What are these titles?
Yeah, they're made up jobs.
Oh, so go ahead. Tell the story. What's happening right here? So what's the post?
The post is all four of these women have been let go.
Because
they're all black because of what affirmative action
has done.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, maybe it does.
But the thing is, if
they were only hired.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The outcry doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I see.
Because what it highlights is the company is saying, hey, we only hired you because you're black. That's a reflection of the company.
Yeah, right.
Not affirmative action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has made it this thing to have diversity hired? It's like, who's made it this quota to say, right, hey, we have to have this many people that look like this?
Right.
That's society.
That's society, yeah.
And what's happening is it's backfiring because they're creating jobs they got to pay people for that are nonsense.
They are. They really are.
Executive VP of inclusion and impact? Mm-hmm. That's a garbage job. What's the name? Nikki Lerner just posted something about, it was ESPN. What's that show where there's always a person in the middle and they ask a question to four people in the...
Oh, yeah, get points.
Yeah, what's
that around called? The horn?
Around the horn, yeah. And so it was a man in the middle asking the questions and four women on the outside. Four black women.
Oh, boy. That's not good enough.
This is, I mean, and she was like, oh, this is so beautiful to see. Well, this is, they're talking about sports. This is, I hope they lose. This is why ESPN is losing viewership.
Yeah, that's true.
And this,
because that's the beauty. The beauty is seeing women in the corners to answer questions.
Right.
I don't think I ever sat watching an ESPN channel like, ooh. Oh, man.
Right.
Men. Oh.
What's the one thing you pay least attention to during a football game?
The cheerleaders?
Yeah. And that's what they try to do, right? It's like, oh, we can keep our viewership up by putting four attractive women on here, and we can be woke because they're all black. But men aren't watching that because realistically they don't care about their opinion in sports.
True. It's true. and that's considered mean.
Yeah.
You know, because on HGTV, if you get Warren Sapp, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
That, Yasiel Puig, you know, talking about gardening and what they like to do with their flowers. I mean, it's like, you're probably going to lose viewership.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably going to lose viewership.
I remember that time when Cam Newton just said, wow, it's here. It's weird listening to you talk about routes. That's cool. That's dope. Under fire for that.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah, under fire, yeah.
And what you're seeing is, but the point is, what you're seeing is a lot of companies with all these diversity hires go, and but, you know, also while making a stance, you know what I mean, to making a point to show everyone, see what affirmative action's doing?
Yeah.
It's costing black women their jobs. You know what I mean? And it's all silly.
It is. It really is.
It's all silly.
I want to share something. This is, you know what? I used to like this show. Speaking of ESPN, I used to like the show with Jemele Hill and
Jemele.
Is his name Michael Smith? I forget. Yeah, I forget. It's old, and but I used to like their. I used to like her. And then, you know, when things got out of hand, just with society, she went on the route that's like not awesome. Mm-hmm. It's not an awesome route. So I want to share an article that she wrote because I think it's quite ridiculous. This is what she says. Asian Americans praising the U.S. Supreme Court for declaring affirmative action to be unconstitutional carried the water for white supremacy.
That makes no sense.
I'm just trying to let's go ahead. Let's try to make sense of it. Go ahead. Go. What do you got? I offered people $10 million to join like her side. That,
people like that have so much hatred in their hearts.
So much.
That they are racist.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She has eliminated an entire continent of people.
Yeah.
She's basically said that what they are crying for doesn't matter.
Right.
It's only white people and black people. Everybody else is just whatever. You're the leftovers. This is a black issue. Anybody who's against the black issue is for white supremacy. That means you are a white person.
Yeah.
When realistically, what's happening is a lot of these Asians who, not even just, you know, like Asians in the general sense, as far as even Indians.
Yeah.
Some of the highest earners in this country are Nigerians.
Yeah. Right.
Asians, Indians. These people are the ones who are being left out when it comes to American black people in affirmative action.
Yeah, right.
It's these people, the ones who have the culture of hard work,
mm-hmm.
who have the culture of practicing violin instead of shooting each other during a cookout.
Yeah, right.
It's those people who have the highest two-parent household rates.
Yeah.
Whose kids are performing at a very high level.
Very high.
And can't get into schools because of quotes like that.
Yeah, right.
It's like, no, this black person deserves to get into school simply because of, I don't know, reparations.
American.
Yeah. Black American person. Blacks. Yeah. Black Americans specifically.
Because, as you said, Nigerians are also up there.
Yeah.
Or Africans.
Africans in general.
African Americans. Mm-hmm. Even African Americans. You got another Gatorade? Yeah. Is it cold?
As cold as that one.
Nah, I'm all right. I'll wait. Yes, I'll take it. So yeah, that came from an article. I want to give the guy credit. It came from an article by Lindsay Cormick out of Fox News. Oh man, that'll set people off. But yeah. I'm going to read a little bit more of it. In a 6-3 decision on Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that using race as a factor in college admissions violated the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. Mm. Now, this is Brandon speaking. It meant to be a protection.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, no one cared who became vulnerable.
Right.
No one cares today still. Also, going to the point that you made, remember back in the day when the whole black struggle was about equality?
Right.
To make America actually
right.
equal and free?
Right.
Now that doesn't even do it. That's not the goal.
Guys, it's okay. Just go to the HBCUs, right?
Yeah, right.
Just go there. Why That's you want right. to go to Harvard anyway, the white right. school? Why you want to go to Yale and Ooh. Princeton and Cornell?
She's Michigan State, Jemele Hill.
Yeah, why you want to go there? Mm. Go to Howard.
Mm.
Just as good. Go to Morgan. Just as good. Just as good.
No, it's not. It's not even comparable.
Go to Liberty University. FAMU.
No.
Just as good.
For good.
Oh man, he was tripping.
Yeah, man. And so it's off limits also. It's off limits to say, hey, this has been happening to Asian Americans. This has been happening to African Americans. Right. Because it goes against the narrative. Obviously, everybody knows that phrase goes against the narrative. It's a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. When something goes against the narrative, I mean, we have been sitting in a lot of gaslighting regarding a lot of different contexts.
Yeah.
That's why people out here wilding out.
That's why they're right here. Everybody's so confused and don't know which way to turn.
No.
Fighting everything just because they don't understand it.
Right.
This doesn't sound good on the surface, so I'm going to fight and riot.
Yeah. Black and Blurred, brought to you by Gatorade.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't be sitting in no garage.
I know, seriously. I'm gonna leave it in there. But okay, let's move on. Let's move on because I do have on some semi lighter notes. Another aspect of
first of all, can we just come back to Earth for a second?
Yeah,
we're talking about this in 2023 in one of the freest countries in the world, probably. Arguably the last free country in the world.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, we've assumed racism is real.
Yeah.
And because racism is real, we still need affirmative action. And the Supreme Court, Hillary Clinton said this in a tweet. She said, the Supreme Court, if the right continues to win, the Supreme Court will be full of justices that will reverse time on years and years of progress we've made for minorities in this country.
Yeah, man.
They keep saying that kind of stuff.
They keep saying it. It's a lot of
gaslighting. What are you talking about?
It's a whole
lot. We've assumed that it is true that racism exists. It's only coming from the right. And we need affirmative action because without it, black people won't go to college. By the way, college is trash.
Yeah. Speaking of college, and it's uber trash. But speaking of college, New York Times was blasted as racist for predicting that affirmative action ruling will make colleges whiter. You know, one of my favorite things that came out of this Supreme Court ruling is that people made a mistake and showed their racism.
Yeah, what does that say? You said they were blasted as racist because they said the Supreme Court decision will make colleges whiter.
Yeah.
Isn't that what people are upset about? Like, how is that racist? That's what people are mad about, right?
Yeah, but
ultimately.
But you think, yeah, that's exactly
it. But they can't say it.
Yeah, but they said it out loud.
Because it's racist.
Yeah. They said it out loud.
You can't say it. I mean,
it's like, oh man, without the government's help, black people just can't do anything.
And that's right. Joe Biden has said it. What are we shocked about?
That's right. I know. That's exactly right. But, you know.
Some people can't get online to get in line.
Oh, yeah, true. That's right.
We ain't got internet, and we too stupid to get a license.
Too stupid to get a license. And we're also just as smart as white kids. Mm-hmm. By we, I mean poor kids. Mm-hmm. Because that's Joe Biden's take. Now, all of this, once again, back to the gaslighting. We're not allowed to talk about it, y'all. We can't talk about that. We have the 2024 presidential election that's going to be coming up soon.
That's why
the game will be played again, and we won't be able to have real conversations. Robert Darin, I wish I could remember the episode we said. This was some years ago.
It was 4 years ago, probably.
Yeah, but we talked about these words. Remember, we said just in a few years' time, you will walk down the street, you will bump into someone, and they will say, "You raped me,"
right?
And not as a lie, but just as a lowering of what the word rape means,
right?
Because that's what we see with words today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see tweet after tweet of people saying, when you think this, you're committing actual violence against, you know, insert group here. It's like, do we not know what violence is anymore? You're committing violence by thinking something. Shut up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they literally changed words of definition so that they don't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and not only is saying something violence, but if you're not saying something,
it's also
been violent.
Yeah. So let me go back to this real quick. New York Times blasted as racist for predicting affirmative action ruling will make colleges whiter. The New York Times was widely criticized by conservatives on social media Thursday over a tweet that said the Supreme Court's decision rejecting affirmative action would make colleges whiter and more Asian. Breaking news. The major ruling curtails race-conscious college admissions in the U.S., all but ensuring that elite institutions become whiter and more Asian and less Black and Latino.
Which what they're saying is that you can't get in on your merits.
No.
In fact, you don't even exist. You Black people who think you're intelligent, yeah, you're not.
What they're also saying is that the way that discriminatory practices helped white supremacy thrive in the history of this country mm-hmm. is the same today.
It's back.
And they're trying to gaslight us to make it seem like that's the case.
Right.
And you're hearing that rhetoric from a bunch of Black people who on are prominent successful. Programs.
Who are successful.
You know, and I'm the exception, though.
$20 million contracts Shorty. To lie to you every day.
Makes me sick. We have another one, though. We do have another one. This was a popular one. Huh? What's going on here? Maybe. Oh, I see. Let me just go here. Cause there was a popular tweet by Erica Marsh. I don't know who that is. But this is the one I saw. A lot of people. So Erica Marsh, her Twitter handle, Erica Report, proud Democrat. Let me make sure that people can see this as I'm doing it. Let's get rid of it, and then let us share. Where is it? Did I have it up anywhere?
Oh, DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, I gotta go over here. Okay. So she's a proud Democrat, former field organizer to elect President Biden, volunteer for the Obama Foundation, and her pronouns are she, her. So it's almost like it's a cult. Whole thing is a cult. It's like you have to do these things. Is there someone who agrees that transgenderism is good but also doesn't play the pronoun game?
Yeah, I know.
Is there someone? But yeah, Erica Marsh is the name on a political Twitter account whose tweet about the Supreme Court's affirmation action decision has racked up 22 million views. The Erica Marsh Twitter page has a profile page that reads proud Democrat. Oh, I just read all that stuff. The account went active on Twitter in September 2022 and has 131,000 followers. Marsh's Twitter page has been inundated with people accusing her of racism. Some have also asked whether Erica Marsh is her real name. Is a bot fake account or is a parody account? I'm not a parody, the Erica Marsh page tweeted. The page tweets at Erica Report. I'm not a parody. Okay, let's get to what she said here. So this is what it says. This is what the Erica Marsh page tweeted. Today's Supreme Court decision is a direct attack on Black people. No Black person will be able to succeed in a merit-based system, which is exactly why affirmative action-based programs were needed. Today's decision is a travesty.
That's on par with the people being interviewed on the street about the license to vote. Like some people just don't have internet.
Yeah.
They just can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to get to the DMV.
Now, we experienced this firsthand.
Yeah.
We experienced the reality of let me put it this way. I think something that has contributed to this is the misconception of racist and racism. Obviously, right. We've lost the definition.
Yeah.
The definition has been changed and we're gaslit to believe that the definition deals inherently with Black Americans.
Right.
One. And two, it's regarding structures of power and how that, you know, whatever. And so therefore, you know, Black Americans can't be racist. That's foolish. But if it's just an inherent belief of superiority amongst other ethnicities, And one of the misconceptions of racism has been that racists are mean. That's a misconception. Yeah. They're rude and they're mean and they yell slurs at people and they hang you up in trees. And that's what a racist does. Meanwhile, racism is a belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disposition, predisposition.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will say it out loud. They'll say that you will hear the most racist statements come from leftist thinkers.
Yeah.
Because they genuinely believe that people are beneath them.
Yeah.
They genuinely believe it. Another angle, to be fair, of this is to say that they believe that the country is so white and racist that black people could never survive in this country without the government's help, which is delirium.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You've been brainwashed.
That's just crazy. It's so crazy.
But, you know, it comes out when a black person goes to that person and say, hey, that's not true.
Yeah.
Then their real heart comes out.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's what we've experienced.
No longer delirium. And you really believe
yeah.
that I can't do what you can do because of the way I look only. Mm-hmm. That's
exactly right. And then also, if you disagree, it's only because you and your weak mentality
yeah.
has been overcome by white thought.
Yeah.
In such a way where you can't think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you're disagreeing with your people, the monolith of black people,
yeah.
is because the brainwashing of white Americanism has overcome you. We've dealt with these things firsthand.
Multiple levels. I mean, it's been, you know, the tone deafness. We've seen that level.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's people just not used to being around black culture and saying some things that just, I'm just going like, you probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm not offended.
Yeah.
But then you got people who are like, you know, who will tell you, they will invalidate your opinion because though you don't, you know, what's the word? I guess, you're an anomaly, I guess, to the narrative, mm-hmm. right? We're conservative black Christians
yeah.
to the narrative. We acknowledge that, but you know you're different. You know you grew up privileged.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You grew yeah. up different. I mean you're black, but you're yeah. other black.
You're other black.
I'm talking about those other ones. You yeah. know those ones that can't do nothing.
The niggers.
Yeah, I'm talking about those who can't get online.
They
to get
can
in
say
line.
It out loud. That's right. what it would sound like.
Right.
Yeah,
point
man.
Me to a normal conservative mm-hmm. that says any semblance of that.
Right.
Point me to one. They got to dig in so far to find some kind of racism in something somebody says.
Yeah.
Find me a normal conservative that says anything like what Marsh, what's yeah. her, Erica Marsh just said.
Yeah.
Or anybody on The View or Joy Reid.
Right.
Or what's the other NBC girl?
I don't know. Whoopi?
No.
MSNBC. The shortcut.
The white girl, yeah.
Like Megan Rapinoe.
She gets on my nerves. Yeah.
Is she still there? Are they all still there?
Who knows? I mean, you know,
yeah, because they affirmative acted on too.
They did, and so it's like find me just you know what I mean like point to somebody that's a normal conservative, not some redneck from the backwoods of Louisiana somewhere that right. you dug up. That's like a 1%.
Those are the ones that they show up on our Instagram page too.
Yeah,
they show up on our Instagram page with right. some
crazy,
hateful,
stuff.
Racist stuff.
Yeah,
right. Because that's just the way the world works.
Right. Right.
But our Instagram page is indiscriminate because we get racism from black and white people.
Yeah.
All types of people. All colors. Mm-hmm. All colors of hatred. Let's move on. Let's move on because I do want to read Justice Thomas's concurrence to this. Should I bring this up? I'll read it. Maybe I'll post it on the screen. So. This he gives a concurring opinion or response to the ruling, Justice Thomas does. And I'm just going to read some of it. And hopefully you're tracking with me, listener, as I'm reading this.
This is Clarence Thomas
speaking. The solution to our nation's racial problems thus cannot come from policies grounded in affirmative action or some other conception of equity, Thomas writes. Racialism simply cannot be undone by different or more racialism. Instead, the solution announced in the second founding is incorporated in our Constitution, that we are all equal and should be treated equally before the law without regard to our race, he adds. Only that promise can allow us to look past our differing skin colors. Real quickly, there's a lot of there's a parallel here with Christians today in scripture. The thing about the Constitution is that it's meant to be an immovable thing. Obviously, it doesn't line up with scripture. It's not perfect. No, right. It doesn't serve as a perfect law. Go ahead. But it's meant to be the immovable thing, so that when anything else is happening around it, those things fall on the Constitution, and the Constitution does with it what it does.
Meant to be a standard.
That's right.
And
a read.
Historically, the Constitution wasn't an immovable thing, like you said, but it was still measured to Scripture, which is why our country was one of the quickest, or the quickest, I think, to eradicate slavery.
That's right.
Because what the founders said, wait, what we claim to believe doesn't line up with our constitutional document. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have to change, not the document. The document's, you know, we have to change. We don't change scripture.
Yeah.
We got to change the document to match scripture.
Right.
And that's what they did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean the Constitution has changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot.
Been added to. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But measured to scripture.
Yeah. Right.
Not some other feelings or, you know, something that's not a standard.
Right. And I think what people hate about Clarence Thomas so much, and their racism leaks out towards this ignorant coon, Clarence Thomas, is that he wants to be immovable when it comes to our values and principles. That's what conservatism is.
Right. Yeah.
You conserve the values.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the structures and pillars of society that help society flourish. So let me continue. In fact, all racial categories, this is Thomas speaking, are little more than stereotypes, suggesting that immutable characteristics somehow conclusively determine a person's ideology, beliefs, and abilities. Of course, that is false, Thomas notes. Members of the same race do not all share the exact same experience and viewpoints. Far from it. He explains, a black person from rural Alabama surely has different experiences than a black person from Manhattan or a black first generation immigrant from Nigeria. And in the same way that a white person from rural Vermont has a different perspective than a white person from Houston, Texas. Now, this is I think Spencer Brown from the town hall who's recounting this concurrence. I'm reading his words. Thomas continues. He says, universities' racial policy suggests that racial identity alone constitutes the being of the race or the man. Mm-hmm. And that is the same naked racism upon which segregation itself was built.
And that's what they want.
That's what they want. They're building it in schools.
Yeah.
Thomas rightly concludes, small wonder then that these policies are leading to increasing racial polarization and friction. Thomas also refuses to hold back on his fellow justice. I'm sorry, I'm reading the commentary now. but Justice Thomas also, like what Spencer Brown was saying, he didn't hold back on fellow justice's flawed views of affirmative action. And what was called mistaken interpretation of the Constitution, in his opinion. Now, in evaluating the argument made in the dissenting opinion filed by Justice Kentaji Brown Jackson, Thomas brings the fire. Justice Thomas says, Justice Jackson uses her broad observations about statistical relationships between race and select measures of health, wealth, and well-being to label all blacks as victims. Mm. Her desire to do so is unfathomable to me. I cannot deny the great accomplishments of black Americans, including those who succeeded despite long odds.
Right.
Nor do Justice Jackson's statistics regarding a correlation between levels of health, wealth, and well-being between selected racial groups prove anything. Of course, none of those statistics are capable of drawing a direct causal link between race, rather than socioeconomic status or any other factor, and individual outcomes. So Justice Jackson supplies the link herself, the legacy of slavery and the nature of inherited wealth. This, she claims, locks blacks into a seemingly perpetual inferior caste. Such a view is irrational. It is an insult to individual achievement and cancerous to young minds seeking to push through barriers rather than co-sign themselves to permanent victimhood. Justice Thomas,
I would love,
slap my hand.
I would love for anybody to read that and then pick it apart. William Lane Craig says,
yeah.
First you must tear down my argument and build up your own.
Build up your own.
Find something in there that's not true. Nothing he said was divisive.
No.
That should be unifying.
It should be unifying.
Nothing he said is divisive.
Well, there's the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age is division. Mm-hmm. It's hatred. It's evil.
All right.
It's evil. And the world is going to be the world, but I can't stand it when I see it in the church.
Yeah.
And I see it being the motor and motivation of the church. And I think that's where we land right now. Mm. I'm about to show you a clip. And this comes at an interesting time because I've had some conversations about critical race theory. Man, my eye has been... Oh, it's because of this fan I got. Yeah. I've been talking about critical race theory with some people. In addition to teaching the class at our church on race using Monique Toussaint and the Center for Biblical Unity's curriculum that we even co-signed, Reconciled. Great curriculum. If you have a church class or anything, if you are a Bible study leader or a Sunday school teacher, or you guys have something in your church where you do teaching and you want to do something on race, look up the Center for Biblical Unity and find their Reconciled curriculum. It takes the conversation on race and it forces it back into the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
where it belongs. So, but with that, I've just been talking about how critical race theory is another worldview, and how if it's another worldview, then the answers of origin, meaning, morality, and destiny are no longer being answered by scripture and through Christ or in Christ. Right. It's being answered by man's philosophy.
Right.
And scripture has a lot to say about subjugating ourselves to human philosophy rather than godly wisdom. The response I typically get is like, how there's good stuff in it and, you know, stuff like that. There's stuff to be done. I don't know that I've seen good fruit come from this.
No.
Let me clarify. Because this is also the retort I give when people say there's good stuff in it. I do not see good fruit come from critical race theory that can be attributed to critical race theory.
Right, and not scripture.
Right. That they might be borrowing.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, yeah. So I just want to play this because this came out of, let me pause that. Yeah. You already know what it is. You already know what it is.
Gracious, man.
You already know it. But now this comes from Fault Lines kind of video guide that's on Salem Now. Vody Balkan has a Fault Lines video series on Salem Now. And this was a clip that I took from it.
You take forever to click that thing.
I know.
And it's right there.
I know, yeah. I know. So take a look at this. I want to make sure people can see. Okay, good.
Can't make it bigger?
Can't make this bigger?
I can't see.
Oh, I'm going to look at the screen.
Oh.
Yeah, this here. But it's more so what she's saying, so just listen.
No, you're always going to be racist, actually. So even when you're on your path to trying to figure out how to be a better human being, because I believe that white people are born into not being human, like that actually instead of people of color and black folks being dehumanized, that actually everyone is dehumanized off rip within white supremacy, that y'all are born into a life to not be human, and that's what y'all are taught to do, to be demons. So in this particular way, white people are all racist.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And look at all the middle-aged white women soaking it up.
I don't know that they're soaking it up, man.
I mean, just they're there.
I know.
Would you ever be there?
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah.
We've never been in that position. Now, just personally, as individuals, no.
You get what I'm saying?
No. I'd probably be
you
gotta in
there. You got to be stronger than that. You understand? I'm sick of that, man. I'm sick of that.
Stop. You need to be gracious. This is why.
I'm sick of that.
You need to be gracious. This is why. Because we've been lied to. We've been told that the only heritage of a white American is racism, hatred.
Right.
But it can't be true if this is the country we're living in right now and we're not slaves. That can't be true. There must be another heritage in this country of white people who said, I'm willing to die
right.
for slavery.
Right.
To end. I'm compassionate. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to see this through.
Right.
That's another heritage. And I think that's the heritage that leads these people to sit and listen to this woman.
I know.
That's a part of the heritage. They're misguided. They don't have a backbone, apparently. But that's still a part of the heritage. And that's what makes me mad. Because she's sitting here using phrases like off rip. First of all, shorty, you are affirmative action one.
Right. Right.
Like, you need an education. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm not going to. No. Lord, help me. Help me to be angry and not sin. All right. So Ashley, what was her name? Ashley Shackelford?
Yeah. Shackelford.
Shackelford. Ashley Shackelford is her name. And what she just described, I dare anyone to bring it to a pulpit.
Right, exactly. Right.
I dare anyone. Now, some people will hear that and say, oh, I got no problem with it. Yeah, I got no problem calling you a child of Satan. You're not a church.
All right.
You're not a church. But that is critical race practicum.
Right. And this is what they're trying to gaslight. I mean, it's not being taught. It's just it's scholarly people. It's just something they discuss.
Yeah.
It's not being taught. That's it. That's it in action.
Yeah.
She's literally telling white people, you're not human. You're demons. No matter what you do, you will be a racist person.
Right. And so that's what nullifies them even being there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right.
They're there and they just realize there's nothing you're going to do that's ever going to be good enough. So now let's end on a good note. Would the real churches come equipped and armed with the gospel in the midst of this? Because you have black people who think that their only hope is in vengeance that comes to it from their own hands. And you got white people who thinks that they're hopeless. Mm-hmm. I've met them.
Yeah.
I've talked to them. Where I ask a question and I ask, hey, what do you find beautiful about your ethnic heritage? And they say nothing.
Right.
I don't see anything beautiful. What a myopic view of your heritage. What a very myopic and anemic view of your heritage. That's just like me accepting the culture's narrative about our heritage.
Right.
What do you find beautiful? I mean, nothing, man. All we do is go to block parties and shoot people up and we rap and we drink and we smoke and we have sex. That's it. No, that's not my heritage.
Right. Right.
I don't care if that's existing in reality. That's not my heritage.
Right.
So.
It's our culture, though.
It's not. Yeah. So, yeah. Did you have anything else before we end it? Any of those other things? Let's listen to that real quick. How much time we got? Nah, we don't need to.
I mean, it's more of the same garbage.
It is. We might do a standalone.
It's Joy Reid talking out the side of her neck
on The View.
No, she's on her show.
Oh, Joy Reid. I hear Joy.
Wait, that's not her name.
And I think it is. Joy Behar.
Joy Behar. Right. Joy Reid is MSNBC black woman.
Right.
Right. You can probably talk about it.
But yeah, you know, another aspect of gaslighting. We already touched on it before, but Justice Thomas.
Yeah.
A gem of American society.
Yeah.
Let alone you know, one of the best.
They're trying to put a stigma on this man. Here is a man, a black man. This guy should have been shot by the police.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Should have been something.
Yeah, right.
Because all he's one of the most influential humans on government level. Mm-hmm. He is. The justices all look to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a black man.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be there, right?
Right. He shouldn't be there.
Neither should Ketanji. Oh, she was an affirmative action hire.
That's right.
She shouldn't be there either, right? She wasn't a good lawyer. She didn't earn her stripes.
No. And she can't tell us what a woman is.
She can't. I mean, like, what are we talking about? All these prominent people in high places telling you lowly people,
yeah,
you can't get to where I
you
am
can't get
because
to where
of
I
the
am.
White people in your way.
Right.
But they were the exception.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Goofy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I think that's it. That's it. So takeaways. Guys, racism is not always mean.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is not always mean. And on the flip side, love is not always nice.
Right.
It's not always nice. So if there are things that we said that are true, and you cannot break down any fallacious nature of what we said, and you're upset about it, we don't care. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to have a conversation if you want to talk about it, but the fact that you're mad at us, we don't care. No. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that you guys are looking at the things that we just brought up in this. Don't take our word for it. Look it up. And then also look at society anytime someone tells you about society. Mm-hmm. So anybody, somebody tells you about society, look at it again. I'll say, is
Clarence
that true?
Thomas quote, he said, believe the world you're living.
Yeah.
Believe the life you're living.
Yeah.
Not what you're told.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You said it already. People sitting at desks getting paid millions of dollars telling you that you're a victim.
Yeah.
Stop believing it.
This black also, woman just was teaching a class to white people. And right. She tells them that they're racist and there's nothing she can do.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Silliness.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a sign off.
It is. It's a sign off. It's a sign off. We got episodes coming up. Stay tuned. We have Dr. Swain coming up soon. That should be a great episode. You know what I would really love to do? I would like to get Virgil Walker on here because he commented on a sermon and called it CRT light.
Mm.
And people we would call brothers and sisters in Christ who are black all jumped on him.
Yeah.
After the preacher, Charlie Dates, called him like an Uncle Tom or Uncle Ruckus or whatever. Yeah.
Uncle Ruckus. That's Boondocks.
Yeah, I know. But he, yeah, Uncle Tom, Uncle Ruckus, whatever.
Trash. Made up.
It's middle school.
Yeah. He just made it. He gave him
it's a middle
name.
School.
Stupid.
And this is where we are in the body of Christ in America.
Right.
So the thing that divides you between siblings is your views on an ideology regarding racism. Congratulations, guys. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Black and Blurred, where you're guaranteed to hear one of two things, our humble opinion
or the facts.
Holler at us.